and you may disagree. But we've got to be able to talk honestly about these issues, all right? Now, you're absolutely right that there have been significant numbers of deportations. That's true. But what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law. Now, what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law. Together. What you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just changed the law.
Radio.
Radio Free V-Dot.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Have it from our glorious leader, self-appointed dictator now making laws with his pen and his phone. Yeah, welcome to the USSA. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to episode 1441, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt, bringing hope and encouragement and awareness, education, motivation, hopefully to all of those of you out there in the audience who are awake and aware and in the process of awakening to what we're facing in our country and our world and preparing for it, preparing for the days ahead. And we're doing it together. So I want to thank you all for being out there. I'm proud to be your host once again. I hope you all had a great, blessed Thanksgiving. We had so much to be thankful for, and I want to thank all of you for being out there, for your outpouring of support through your prayers, your letters of encouragement, little cards that I get, scriptures, and just words coming from you, from the heart. I can't tell you how much that is appreciated. I keep those. I keep a little folder going for times when I need to. Not that I need reminding of why I'm doing this and why all of us are on this journey, you know, preparing to stand side by side to preserve Americanism, to preserve our heritage. But sometimes you just get, just kind of down and you wonder if you're making a difference. And if you're making it count, and I go back and I look through these and the people that are impacted and affected, those of you out there that I hear from, that is such an encouragement. I have to go back there and realize that we're affecting and touching real life human beings. And I get to meet some of you sometimes, and it's such a privilege at some of these different events. And, for those of you that I don't get to meet face-to-face, then you're just very gracious with your support. I also want to thank you all. I want to thank Glenn Tate for putting the word out to his readers from the 299 Days book series. He's got, you know, a sizable following. And he put a thing out saying, you know, hey, could you guys support John Jacob, what they're doing at Radio Free Redoubt? They're worthy of your support. If you can just send them $5, $10 or something like that, just as a way of saying thank you for all the work that they do over there. And several people responded. And I was not expecting that. And that was, it came just at the right time. Still working through some things. And, of course, you know, the costs are continuously going up and we're expanding and all of that. So I just want to thank you guys for your support who vowed to send, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20 or $25 a month. All that adds up and it really, really, really helps. So thank you for all of that. Remember, you can also follow us on Facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt. And we also have an Amron Facebook page along with our regular sites, RadioFreeReadout.com and Amron.com. That's the other side of Radio Free Readout. That is the communications network. And so besides the Facebook page, you can also visit us at AMRRON. That stands for the American Readout Radio Operators Network, which we'll be talking about a little bit more in segment four. Hey, welcome to the new listeners that are just joining us, and thank you to those of you who are helping to spread the word among your like-minded friends and family and your little spheres of influence. And welcome to the listeners from Patriot Radio with Matt Shea and I 5 days a week live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific. And I know a lot of Radio Free Readout listeners have gravitated over to Patriot Radio to listen to our live daily radio show. It's for an hour a day. And then we have gotten a lot of new Radio Free Readout listeners from the Patriot Radio audience. And, of course, Patriot Radio is syndicated all across Washington State and North Idaho. They're in Wenatchee and Moses Lake and Tri-Cities and Spokane. And, man, I can't remember all the places, Ephrata. But anyway, it's kind of cool. So I just wanted to welcome those of you that are joining us over here. So we're going to get into a traditional segment one, news and commentary, which is sponsored actually by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, where you can get all 10 books now, including the audio books. And those are really great. Go check them out at 299days.com. Fox News this week broke this story. Businesses reportedly will have a $3,000 per employee incentive to hire illegal immigrants over native-born workers under Obama's sweeping action on illegal immigration. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel, you immigrants who came here legally and went through the process, and it took years for you to get your citizenship? And now these people walk right up here, and now they're going to have preferential treatment because, well, the employers have a $3,000 per illegal advantage. Isn't that something? Because of a kink in Obamacare, businesses will not face a penalty for not providing illegal immigrants health care. The Washington Times reports illegal immigrants are ineligible for public benefits. Well, that's not fair. Such as buying insurance on Obamacare's health exchanges. Congressional aides condemned the loophole. So what? You're not going to do anything about it. Okay, so they condemned the loophole, saying it puts illegal immigrants ahead of Americans in the job hunt. Well, we condemn it too. So there, how much did that get us? Wow. And then you got Kool-Aid drinkers. Oh, Garth Brooks lost a fan. Garth Brooks said he loves Obama to death, and he says it's just got to be hell in that office. The poor guy, give him a break. We got to help him out. He faces so much opposition. It must be so tough. Well, Garth, you've really finally spun out. Actually, for me, when he left his wife for Trisha Yearwood, that was pretty much did it for me. And then this. So anyway, I'm going to have some Target practice with some CDs that I haven't listened to in years. The Denver Channel. Check this out. I know a lot of states have been trying to push this. The Colorado Department of Transportation is mulling a new way to pay for highway construction and maintenance, charging drivers for the miles they drive instead of the gas they purchase, because they're saying that these electric cars and these fuel-efficient cars, well, they're just getting too much mileage, or they're using too. Remember several years ago when the big push was, we have to save the earth, we have to reduce emissions, we have to have more fuel efficient cars by government order, doggone it. And now, well, you guys are just too doggone efficient now, so we're going to have to tax you per mile. Now, how are they going to do that? They're going to have to track you. Unless you pull into a little station where they check your odometer once a week and then they, you know, like a meter reader. But no, they're not going to do that. They're going to have smart technology, just like smart meters. They'll be putting out a little beep, little honing beacon, so they can track where you're going And of course, it'll be so efficient because they'll actually be able to see which roads get the most usage. And pretty soon it'll be, well, the roads that get the most usage are the ones that are getting the most wear and tear. So we have to know which roads you're using on, because there's going to be different fees applied to different roads. And it's just, there's no way they can do this without setting up a system for tracking vehicles, which means tracking citizens. And on top of that, they're saying as you get more fuel efficient cars, or even more entirely over to electric cars, what you see is the same number of cars using the roads causing the wear and tear. No, actually, it's the big rigs cause, it's big trucks, big vehicles, not these little lightweight, little featherweight electric cars and tiny little fuel efficient cars. They're not causing wear and tear. It's so minimal. That's what we're paying you for anyway. Well, they squander the money. It's like costs $1.5 million to put in a turnout lane. So this is what's going to happen. They're going to eventually switch over to mileage, which is going to result in tracking the movements of the citizens. And secondly, don't think for a minute that this is going to remove a gas tax on price per gallon per fuel. Because, well, they're already charging the people that use the put the most wear and tear on the roads, like truck drivers, they just ream them on diesel fuel costs. Oh, most of that's taxes. So what's going to happen is they're going to charge you per mile, and then they're not going to be able to resist themselves. They're going to find some, it's going to be a carbon footprint tax or something that they're going to tack on right back onto the price per gallon. They're going to be double dipping. That's my prediction. Let's go over to LA Times reporting that hit and runs are taking a rising toll. They're skyrocketing. The statistics are just going through the roof. Where bicyclists are getting, they're becoming victims of hit and runs. And it's just this phenomenon in LA and LA County that they just can't try to figure out. They can't, they're scratching their heads trying to figure out why. In the last 10 years, it has gone up. How much percentage? It's just beyond any of the other type of hit and runs. But it's interesting to see the correlation in the last 10 years of cities that have declared themselves cities of refuge for illegal immigrants. And in those cities, they're seeing a spike in hit and runs. It's kind of interesting, too, the correlation that you see between the hit and runs and the cities and states where they offer licenses to illegal immigrants. And, of course, they don't have insurance. They're here illegally. I'm just saying there's kind of a correlation there. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not, but, yeah, something we can see probably more of. Washington State, boy, they've got a horrible track record with their Health and Human Services, the Child Protection Services. There's a couple here that had their babies taken away from them because she's breastfeeding. Let me just read a little bit of this to you. All three of their babies have been taken away from them and placed in the care of strangers. Levi, their son, was 10 months old when his mother, local singer and songwriter, gave birth to his twin brother and sister at their home. Oh, they're home birthers. I see. There's a problem right there. In Bellingham, Washington. Well, there's another problem right there. Our birth was glorious, she said, and the twins were reportedly healthy, full-term babies who had no problems quickly figuring out how to breastfeed. The little family was overjoyed until CPS stepped in. So basically, this is another medical kidnapping, according to the parents. And I agree. The Rengos have chosen a wholesome, holistic lifestyle based on their Christian faith. But CPS has stepped in to override the parents' decisions. Now Erica and Cleve, that's the name of the parents, are living what they call a nightmare, separated from their children for reasons that don't make any sense at all. They're saying that it was only natural for them to choose a normal family-centered birth. Erica herself was born at home, says that her mother was a home birth educator and a La Leche League leader. And she and Cleve chose a birth center birth with their first baby, but decided to home birth. Well, of course, that's just wrong. for you to home birth. I mean, that's putting the child in danger. You can murder your child in the womb, you know, basically right up to the point that it's about ready to be born. But if you have your child born at home in a loving environment, well, that's just dangerous. So basically what happened is, I'm going to post the article for you guys to read the rest, because they came in and took the children because the babies weren't, they weren't gaining weight, you know, fast like they should be, according to the pediatrician. The pediatrician said, you know, get them on a supplemental formula, just kind of help them along. And so they did. And CPS showed up and said, not good enough. We're taking them. This nightmare is repeated over and over across our country. And I've heard numerous horror stories about Washington State CPS taking children from healthy, caring homes. It's amazing some of the homes that they leave children in. My goodness. Oh, let's see. Let's get closer into the American Redoubt. That story just burns me up. I mean, I read the whole thing and I was fuming. Fierce winds knock out windows and power in Wyoming. Hurricane force winds knocked out windows and electricity. Topped 40-foot spruce tree onto a visitor center and inconvenienced Black Friday shoppers. Aw. In northwest Wyoming, according to the Billing Gazette. Lots of weather, too. In Idaho, they had a big dust storm that caused a pileup involving as many as 12 vehicles and lots of injuries. No status on those injuries. But anyway, I'm going to get Fox 5 and 18 pulled up here so we can get his eye on the economy. And I want to remind you also, Christmas is coming. Go to Patriot Depot there for your Patriot gear and clothing on the right-hand side. Click on the banner. And also for your communications needs, gear that has been checked out and reviewed and recommended by Amron operators at the Amron Amazon store, also available by clicking on the link right there at radiofreeredoubt.com or amron.com. Either one of those will take you to the same place. So keep that in mind. All right, Fox 519 with the eye in the economy. We'll be right back with segment two.
If you stack it in $100 bills and bricks of $10,000, just a trillion of them would make up the width of 8 football fields. Now imagine 18 trillion of them. That is 144 football fields long. That is how much debt we are in as a nation. And now your government has just robbed Peter to pay Paul again in this past week. While we were all giving thanks in this past week, our president released over 3,000 new regulations, the Treasury sold us down the river even further, and Switzerland has finally released the results of their gold referendum. This is Sunday, November 30th, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
Welcome back. Eye in the Economy is brought to you this week by the PrepperRecon.com store. Stop by the PrepperRecon.com supply store for a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and concealed carry tactical slings. Packs and slings are available in several tacti-cool colors and camo patterns with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. Choose from the ever-popular Moulin-L'Abbaye come-and-take-it patch, the sheepdog patch, or matching U.S. flag patches. Also check out the great selection of Molly-compatible individual first aid kits, which feature an IBD chest seal, quick clot, NPA tourniquet, an EMT shears, and tons of extras. Go to the PrepperRecon.com store and click on the store tab at the top of the homepage. And now, on to the news.
Well, welcome back. Sorry, everyone, about last week. I just had one calamity after another, and I had to take the week off to get my life back on track. But I am back with you, and I again have news that will further ingrain that you are making the right choices for your financial future. Well, as I alluded to in my opening statement, the United States Treasury has just bought us further into debt and did it while we were all preparing to go comatose from our turkey dinners. What happened, you asked? Well, according to the daily Treasury statement that was released Wednesday afternoon, the U.S. Treasury has been forced to issue over $1 trillion in new debt since fiscal 2015 started just 8 weeks ago in order to pay off the money that the Treasury securities that were maturing and to cover this new deficit spending by the government. During those 8 weeks, the Treasury took in $341.5 billion in new revenues. This was a record for the period between October 1st and November 25th. But that record of the $341.5 billion in revenues was not enough to finance ongoing government spending, let alone pay off any old debt that had matured. This means that countries that held the bonds that were covering our debts were coming a calling for their payment, and instead of paying them off and settling the debt like we should have done, we issued new debt for more monies and a promise that someday we will pay off with all those borrowed monies that they've been spending with us. This was a quiet but shocking indication that our own country is even closer than ever to an economic collapse, and soon. When our own government can't pay their debts and has to finance their own debt with printed money, they show little to no regard for your future. I was speaking with a listener last night about this very subject, and he asked me, how long do we really have before things starting to get bad? Well, again, I can't give you the time frame. I would think 6 to 8 months we'd see something really major, either a market correction or a currency war. Either way, it'll be really bad, and you need to get prepping quickly if you haven't already. In other U.S. news this week, on the heels of the president's illegal executive order to legalize 5 million criminals, I mean illegal aliens, he has decided to add insult to injury and partner with the EPA to release 3,000-plus new regulations that will affect everything from fishing in Alaska to lead smelters that make our ammunition. The list, which is available at www.reginfo, that's reginfo.gov, has the complete list of current rules, proposed rules, and finalized rules for you to review. Hope you have some time on your hands. There are 3,000 new regulations for you to adhere to. 3,000. Fellow patriots and preppers, this government, our government, is out of control. 3,000-plus new rules and regulations, most of which have to do with tax money spending, increasing fees and services, is at an all-time high. Do you remember a time in history when there was a rule about taxes on everything? What happened then? Do you remember reading about the Stamp Act in school? Good. I'm glad you do, because they don't teach it these days. What did the brave patriots do? They worked together to eliminate the regulations through rebellion. Now, do I feel like that time has come to rebel? No, but we're darn close. We still have good men and women who will represent us. We have representatives like Matt Shea and Dave Taylor in office. Fellow patriots, contact and work with these men to help them represent your voice. Otherwise, next year, you may be reading about 5,000 new regulations. Don't sit on your hands anymore. It's time to get involved. Finally tonight, the results of Switzerland's gold referendum are in. Swiss voters overwhelmingly rejected the proposals on Sunday to boost the gold reserves and repatriate any gold held by the Fed or in other banks around the world. The Save Our Swiss Gold Initiative was proposed by the right-wing Swiss People's Party out of concern that the central bank had sold and stored too much of its gold offshore in the past. It was rejected by 77% of voters, and this news comes to us from the Swiss broadcaster SRF. The measure would have compelled the Swiss National Bank, or the SNB, to boost its gold reserves by 20% of its assets from around 8% currently. It also banned ever selling the metal or storing it offshore, and this was going to threaten the ability of the SNB to defend the 1.2 euro cap on the Swiss franc during the height of the euro crisis. Furthermore, it would have required that any gold held by the Federal Reserve Bank be returned for storage in the SNB immediately. Upon hearing results of the current referendum, the SNB welcomed the result and said it would continue to defend the cap, buying unlimited quantities of foreign currency, that's paper currency that is, and would take further measures immediately if it was necessary to secure the cap. Everyone listen up. We dodged a bullet on this one. With Germany asking for their gold back last year from the Fed and not currently seeing a single ounce delivered yet, if the Swiss had in fact demanded their gold back too, the rest of the world would have likely beat a path to our door very, very quickly. This result would have likely pushed China or Russia's hand with their plans to further derail the dollar by recommending the dollar be eliminated as the worldwide currency and replace it with a gold-backed currency immediately to take its place. I'm serious on this one. When the Swiss make a move like this, the world sits up and takes notice. Count your blessings on it. You just got a bit more time to buy up gold and silver while it's still reasonably priced. Finally, part of my advice tonight. Mind the details and the small stuff. The other day I was splitting wood with my little foxes, and as we were picking up our mess, one of my little ones was leaving good tinder on the ground to go to waste. I promptly corrected him and I told him, waste nothing. All that good wood, even the little stuff, can be burned, and it's the little stuff that make a big difference. The same goes for all of us. Sometimes we can get caught up in the big things like big prep purchases, guns, new solar panels, the latest boiler system, maybe a new tractor, but we forget the basic things like toilet paper, paper plates, or even extra toothbrushes. Don't forget the basics this week. Take a moment to review the small details in your prep plans. Make sure you have your basics covered. Nothing would be worse in a Teotihuacan situation than having to use a piece of bark to wipe your backside with. Make sure you have toilet paper. One roll per person per week is the rule. Mind your details and your business this week, and you'll be a happy camper. Well, thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. Buy The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
This is segment 2 on Radio Free Readout. And this segment is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping you to get relocated to the American Readout in the uppermost portion of the Idaho Panhandle. If that is where you've got your target set, visit them at www.selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on this last week with Ferguson, and we were tracking it very closely, the Ameron operators, and we were producing situation reports and just monitoring everything, especially from a communication standpoint. But we're also watching this social, civil unrest, this racial divide, just this mess that's tearing our country apart. It's interesting that the first night they lost, 18 buildings, I believe, last time I counted, to arson fire. They were just going around starting fires, with starting cars on fire, starting businesses on fire, with National Guard present and more police in that town seen in a long time. There were businesses there that were vulnerable in these hard-hit areas. Well, there was an article that ran, and the Oath Keepers announced that they were going to have, and they were calling for volunteers, for Oath Keepers to volunteer to go to Ferguson to help protect businesses. Not white businesses, not black businesses, just any business where they said, please help us. And they reached out, and that's what they did. And they volunteered. They had volunteers, trained law enforcement, former military. They had medical, paramedics, and emergency medical service personnel, and tactical security background guys. They just had a really good cross-section of volunteers to go down there and help provide security for these business owners that are were saying, I'm overwhelmed, I'm scared, and I can't fend people off if they want to burn my place down. So the Oath Keepers volunteers showed up, and they were doing security and mostly keeping an eye out on the rooftops. Now, it's interesting to note, with all the National Guard and all the police presence, that all these businesses are burning, but none of the businesses that the Oath Keepers were protecting were attacked. The St. Louis paper ran an article that referenced the Oath Keepers as those mysterious men on the rooftops. Everything's going fine, right? I mean, the Oath Keepers and the police, they eventually became aware of each other. They shake hands. They become, they have, late night chats, and they're talking about the situation, and they're getting along just great. Do drive-bys, little thumbs up, wave. Everything's good on the boots on the ground level. But somebody up higher decided that's just making some people uneasy and nervous. So what do? The police show up. And first, I got some intel from somebody that was monitoring the traffic in that area. And they said what was passed to me was there were reports that Oath Keepers had been detained, taken into custody, detained for operating in the area. So I contacted Stuart Rhodes today, and he told me that, no, they were threatened with arrest, but they weren't actually arrested. What they were told was that they were making people uneasy. And, of course, the the higher ups, the brass, they're more worried about the perception of, you know, I don't know what all the perceptions that they're worried about, looking bad, right? So we can't have a bunch of white guys guarding businesses. That just wouldn't look right. They didn't actually say that, but I'm extrapolating. You know, in my mind, I'm seeing this conversation. Of course, Oath Keepers, they've got people from all races and backgrounds involved in Oath Keepers and, you know, volunteering, you know, with several things across the country. But somebody decided they didn't want them anymore. So the police, unfortunately, had to go up and say, look, you're not operating with a security license. That's what we're being told, that you can't continue to pull security because you have to have a license, a security business license, which you don't have. So you got to go. So where were they? Where were they when the, you know, neighborhood's burning down and these businesses were not getting touched? There was a presence of security there. This was just to clear that up, in case you guys hear the rumors flying, the Oath Keepers were not detained or arrested, but they were told that they would be if they didn't stop providing security to protect businesses from looters. And also, there's an article over here from that John Moore wrote from, where was this? The Common Sense Show. He says, this past Wednesday on the 26th, local police were advised in private briefings that the police, in other words, federal agencies, now consider the Oath Keepers the threat, not the new Black Panthers, the pro-Michael Brown demonstrators, or ISIS. Meanwhile, the Oath Keepers and cops on the street are talking over hot cups of coffee at 2 a.m., getting their photos taken together, nodding and giving each other the thumbs up. That's what I just said. When passing off the street, word has spread throughout the Ferguson business community that the Oath Keepers have protected Black-owned businesses when the Missouri National Guard and St. Louis County Police could not or would not. Let that sink in. And, you know, this was just a situation where it was unfortunate. It was sad to see, you know, our city streets, you know, turn to mayhem. They were not the peaceful protests that some of the, you know, like CNN and ABC were making out to be. There was a lot of violence. And here's one here where armed Black men defend white-owned businesses in Ferguson. These employees, some of them were employees of these businesses. In fact, this one in particular was a gas station. These guys are saying, hey, this dude's he's a pretty cool guy. He's taking good care of us, so we're going to take care of him. See, there's some good people out there in all races, but they don't talk about this story. This is from Freedom Outpost. You're not going to see CNN or ABC or MSNBC definitely not covering a story where some armed Black men with AR-15 rifles and pistols were leading the groups that were providing security for both Black and white-owned businesses because they said it's the right thing to do. Okay, let's move on. Talk about Putin just a little bit. I got a letter from a listener that says this. I have enjoyed your radio show and your message. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll respond to these pieces as I go through so I don't have to go back through it. I've enjoyed your radio show and your message. The only question I have, really, is why are you falling into the evil Russian narrative being pushed by the U.S. and the U.N. elites? Okay, just to reassure you, I haven't fallen into anyone's narrative. I actually have a brain, and I use it. And based on my own assessments, I don't look at Russians as the evil Russians. I look at the oligarchy, the power players that definitely have an agenda that are a potential threat to the United States. And Putin happens to be one of those oligarchs, very powerful people in powerful positions. And I don't need the U.S. or the U.N. Analysts to tell me that these guys could be a potential threat. I pay attention to current events. Okay, so let's move on. Russia does have a problem. They are, for instance, still dealing with bad corruption, which is a fallout of coming out of a communist system where social trust was destroyed. Okay, first of all, they had corruption why they had the Soviet Union. In fact, the worst kind of corruption is at the top levels of the elite in a communist country. Right. They didn't the wall didn't fall. And now because we tried prematurely and was belligerently had capitalism thrust upon them, and all of a sudden they had corruption. No, they had basically corruption flourished because the system basically opened it up for them. But it was the corruption that already existed that we were not fully aware of because they were a very closed society. And once they opened up, then they started freely moving, with unhindered across international boundaries. And then the scope of these guys and their corruption actually became more apparent to us. So it didn't just appear because they're not communists anymore. It was kind of funny because you guys heard about this situation with Mickey Rourke. He's going through this late midlife crisis, right? Kind of like Steven Seagal. You know, goes over to Russia, hobnobbing with the elite class, meets Putin. They're chumming it up with Putin, and they're drinking vodka and, who knows, smoking, expensive cigars and everything. So, well, Mickey Rourke's the latest. He goes over there. He's hobnobbing around with Putin and meeting all these high up powerful people. What? Because he's an actor, right? So he's very, very important. And actually, this is brilliant. Remember, the Soviets and the holdovers from the Soviet era, they are brilliant propagandists. Okay. And these guys are chess players. They're always thinking three or four or five moves ahead. They know how to manipulate information and perception and so on. So it's a pretty good feather in Putin's cap to have people like Mickey Rourke and Steven Seagal going over there, meeting him, going to parties or whatever they do, and then coming back and having some interview talking about what a great guy Putin is. Right. But it's funny because Mickey Rourke, 61 years old, goes into this professional boxing match, and he wins. And Mrs. Schmidt was telling me, he won. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, probably because Putin told the guy, you will lose. You understand me. You will not win this fight if you know what's good for you. And then it comes out, sure enough, Daily Mail. This guy throws the fight. The fighter who lost professional boxing match to 62-year-old actor Mickey Rourke is sleeping rough in a California park and was paid to throw the bout. Apparently some homeless guy. So I was just shaking my head. I said, why am I not surprised? So, I mean, he's buddies with Putin and he's going to do this professional boxing fight. And something tells me he ain't going to lose. And sure enough. So, I don't know. It was just my gut. The listener goes on to say, Russia does have its problems there, for instance, still dealing with bad corruption. Okay, we covered that. My feelings dealing with Russia is that they are far from communist and, in fact, have very good memories of the disaster it was. The Russians I've dealt with in the U.S., in fact, are in horror watching what is happening to the U.S. in terms of the leftward veering and understand the dangers involved. Okay, I myself have met with Russians, Ukrainians, Czechoslovakians who lived under, and East Germans, who lived under communism. And I agree with you. Those people are in horror watching what's happening in the U.S. They are screaming, please wake up. They're like living in a bad dream, trying to shake Americans. And America awake, because they just came from what we are trying to create here, a totalitarian, communist-style, police state type of system of absolute control. But only it'll be on a worse, bigger scale, because it'll be on a global scale with the technology that communists only dreamed of for tracking citizens. But yes, you're right. The Russians here do remember what it was like. Okay, do not confuse the Russians, Ukrainians, Czechoslovakians, the people that are here in the United States. Do not confuse them with the same type of people that Putin, the mold that he's cut from. These people are on two totally different levels. That's like comparing Joe the Plumber with Barack Obama. They're both Americans. Well, they both live in America, and that's the only thing they have in common. So it's not like, well, because the Russian on the street who fled to America, who lived under communism, can be, you know, can carried over to Putin. Oh, Putin would never, you know, the Russians, they remember what a bad experiment communism was. So Putin couldn't possibly, no, Putin is one of the elite. He's one of the people who most benefits from this system. Now, further to this, it was Russia that talked the U.S. out of getting out into yet another senseless ground war in Syria and to prop up rebel forces that have turned into the ISIS movement that they are now trying to fight today. It's been one disaster after another, and Putin, of all people, was there to talk some reality back into the U.S. Okay, you're right. Putin, I have a huge amount of respect for. I respect that man. But I also respect my chainsaw, and I also respect my M4, and I respect a lot of things that are dangerous. Now, I wish we had a leader with the type of love for his country and the type of fortitude that Putin has, but only an American patriot. See, Putin is a Russian patriot. If nothing else, I know it's debatable. Oh, he's not a communist, or he was, but he's not now. Okay, I know there's no communist party anymore. He's not a member of the communist party. But you don't get to high levels as a colonel in the KGB without being totally sold out to your cause. That is a political position, and you earn it. You're the real deal if you're in that position. Now, Putin is a patriot. He loves Russia. It is all about the motherland. Matter of fact, there's a quote right here. He says, "Death is horrible, isn't it?" Putin asked viewers at the end of his television appearance. "But no, it appears it may be beautiful if it serves the people." Doesn't that sound like a communist to you? Death for one's friends, one's people, or for the homeland, to use the modern word, that is as fascist as it gets. This guy is all about Russia. He worked for the KGB. He worked for the department that specialized in deception. These people are being deceptive. Now, Putin is a strong, powerful leader, but he is no friend to the United States. Yes, we have enemies within the United States, within our own government. We have treasonous people in our government at the highest levels. But see, that doesn't make Putin our friend. He's building up a Russian military. And I'll tell you the other thing, too, is that if you're a Christian and you believe in prophecy, Russia has a major role. And they are not good guys. And either Putin or someone like him is going to be leading that charge against Israel. The other thing, in addition, it is Putin and conservative Christian Russians that are pushing back against cultural Marxism in a way that the U.S. could never do, from prohibiting gay marriage and other propaganda. Okay, gay marriage is not a Marxist. That's not a Marxist thing. Anyway, from entering their country to making those that attack the Orthodox Church there held accountable for their actions, to recognize the intrinsic threat that mass immigration is having on his country and stopping it. It's Putin that defends Russian values above multicultural warriors of the world. All right, let's take this one thing at a time. Okay, there is, matter of fact, the United States is now taking in what they call homosexual refugees, so we're getting Russia's refuge, coming to the United States for asylum because they're being persecuted in Russia. And of course, we're just open arms. Hey, the United States has turned its back on God. All right, that's why we're facing judgment. That's why what's coming to the United States, well, we deserve. Okay, so I understand that part. But see, Putin, he is going to do what's politically expedient. Right now, he realized there's a power base shift in Russia. It used to be based on the educated class in Moscow and St. Petersburg, or Stalingrad, or Leningrad, but now St. Petersburg, and now he's shifting toward the less educated Russians in smaller towns and rural areas. For example, there was a poll that showed 88% of Russian people don't like homosexuals. Well, and it's pretty close to that in the United States, too. Putin's attack on the LGBT community consolidated his power base. Putin probably doesn't care about homosexuality. This is an article that I pulled from the New American. But rather, is a tactful politician who tries to get political wins when he can. With a weak economy, he must turn to pandering to prejudice of his base. And Russian patriotism and revival of Russian power is his path to staying in power. It's all about building a powerful Russia. See, because he just came from Boris Yeltsin, was a disastrous, you know, leadership for Russia. Putin comes in strong, builds him up. And people are loving this. Russia's becoming strong again. Let's get behind Putin. He's our man. But didn't Hitler do that? Didn't Stalin do that? Let's get behind him. He's a strong leader. And now he's building up his military. He's doing probing flights and operations inside the United States, Finland, and UK airspace, playing cat and mouse with us again, building up their arsenal and moving nuclear warheads. That's a threat. The Orthodox Church there is something that came out of a state-controlled church. So I'm not oppressed. He's not protecting Christians. And recognizing the intrinsic threat that mass immigration is having on his country. Okay, good on him. I wish our country would do the same. But see, what Putin's doing is protecting Russia, Mother Russia, the homeland. That's what he cares about. He is a staunch patriot of Russia. And mass immigration coming in from other cultures that are not loyal to Russian aspirations are a threat to Russia. He wants people that are Russian purists. They think very highly of Russia, the raw Russia, strong. Okay, so anyway, he believes very strongly in not just preserving Russia, but expanding Russia. And you cannot do that without being to the point where people are going to suffer for it because of that. Recently, when he pushed for Russians to actually have privately owned firearms for self-defense. Remember, this guy's a strategist. He's thinking something else, right? When asked about it, he said, you can get a lot more done with politeness and a weapon than with politeness alone. That's how he thinks. That's his mindset to everything. And that's why he's using military force to take over and annex Crimea and the Crimean Peninsula and half of Ukraine. This guy believes in weapons, and he probably believes that it would be a stronger Russia if the people were armed, because increasingly they're loving him. Now the Russians, Ukrainians, the Poles, the Czechs that are in the United States are screaming at us that Putin does not have our best interests at heart, that he is a threat, but nobody's listening. Very few people are listening. And there's some people, even in the United States, who have fallen for the narrative that Putin is actually a great guy. Because we're comparing him to our own failed president. A disastrous embarrassment that Barack Hussein Obama is. So yeah, it makes Putin look pretty good. I'll tell you one thing. I grew up in the Cold War. One thing I learned is you don't ever trust a communist. And I also believe that it comes to high-level people in the Communist Party. Once a communist, always a communist. He's not going to expand Russia by being polite. Murder on their mind. He's crossed the line. Murder on their mind. On their mind. This time. The storm is coming to a front after that ordeal. Mix it with this message. This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off.
Thank you, and God bless.
And lastly, obligation number 8. Dedicate a part of your everyday life to the bringing of these requirements of American citizenship to the attention of fellow students, fellow workers, neighbors, and friends.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Segment 3, brought to you by Katie Armor. They sell and build AR-500 Level 3 body armor. It was a very popular item in Ferguson, by the way, among some of our public servants and private citizens. You can get a set yourself, your own set, by Christmas. And you can also save some money if you use the coupon code JONJACOB when you place your order, and they'll get you hooked up. High-level stuff, and also all the accessories, too, with mag pouches, dump pouches, plate carrier vests, and all that kind of stuff. All right. We've got an event coming up that we've been talking about, and we are here with one of the organizers, Anthony Bosworth, getting ready for the I-594 I Will Not Comply rally coming up. And, Anthony, thanks for being with us on Radio Free Readout.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's talk about this. You and Gavin Syme actually are putting this together. And for the listeners, those names might sound kind of familiar, Anthony Bosworth and Gavin Syme, because they did on-the-ground coverage live from the Bundy Ranch incident. And we reposted a lot of their stuff as it was coming in here on Radio Free Readout. So that's probably why that name sounds familiar. So you are still in the fight for liberty.
Exactly.
You bet. Let's talk about this. What do you guys got going on in Olympia?
Well, what we have is we have a rally coming up, and we're calling all patriots to make a stand that we will not comply. This I-594, it's an affront to liberty in every way. We have a republic, and we cannot allow the wolves to dictate to the sheep what's going to be for dinner. And how we're going to go about that is, thank goodness, we have a God that has created sheepdogs. And those are us that have stood up and said, we will not comply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be on December 13th in Olympia, the capital of Washington. I say that because we have people coming in from quite a few different states to support us. This isn't just a Washington thing. This is a liberty thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to spread.
Well, it seems like it already is. I mean, it's really taking off in social media. You've got a lot of high-profile people that are saying that they're going to try to be there, or that they are going to be there. And, you know, that there's a lot of real active patriots in the liberty and patriot community that are standing behind this, because you're right. This is like a cancer, really. And if you don't squash it right there before it gets any further, then it's going to spread.
Most definitely, most definitely. And let me throw a call out to some of our patriots that are going to be there, if you don't mind. We've got Cope Reynolds coming in from Arizona.
Excellent.
He was also one of the guys that was down at the Bundy Ranch with us.
Yeah.
Great guy, great patriot. We've got Ammon Bundy coming. He's going to speak to us from there. He has a first row seat of what tyranny looks like. We have Elizabeth Scott, our state representative, and a few other state representatives that are going to be there. So it's well-backed. It's well-supported. Let me make it clear, this is not a Ferguson thing. This is not a riot. This is not – that a lot of people call it. We're not picketing. We're going there to stand our ground, and we're making the first move to nullifying this unlawful law. Constitution is the supreme law, and anything that goes against it is lawless.
Yes.
And we're attempting to make it easier for our state representatives to do their job. We as the people are standing up as patriots, and we're saying we are no longer going to allow this.
So for the listeners that are outside of the area, maybe they've missed the last couple of shows, bring them up to speed. What is I-594?
Well, it's a law, an unlawful one at that, that was passed by the masses that restricts the rights of a few. What we have failed to realize in our country here in the last few decades is the masses do not get to dictate to the few what their God-given rights are.
Yeah.
We can't allow it. Simply handing a weapon, a sidearm, to a friend out at the range, that's a gross misdemeanor. When he hands it back to you, now you both just committed a felony.
Under 594, you're saying.
Under 594, correct.
Right.
It's written in such a way it will turn law-abiding gun owners into criminals, felons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is an article that was posted by the Washington Arms Collectors Association that debunked some of the myths about I-594 from some of the people saying, you know, it's not that bad. It does allow you to, you know, allow somebody to have a firearm for self-defense purposes, without going through all this. But then we started looking at the law closer. It actually is only while there is an immediate imminent threat, you know, underway. And then they can only borrow this firearm from you so long as the threat, you know, exists. And once there's no longer an imminent immediate threat to life, then, you know, they have to, you know, surrender the firearm back to you. So the example that I used, if you know some young lady that, you know, isn't living in a high crime neighborhood, she's concerned and she wants to go shopping for a firearm next weekend. You want to give her something to hold her, you know, so she has something until you can go through the process and buy a firearm and do the background check and everything else. That would be illegal. And, because some people are saying, no, you can. You can let somebody borrow a firearm for self-defense, but it's not really accurate.
No, and that's the problem. One of the problems with the letter of this unconstitutional law is it restricts you in the ability for self-defense in many ways. It'd be illegal for you to simply hand a gun to a friend that is going alone in the backwoods on a backpacking trip.
Right.
And, I mean, it affects people's lives in numerous, numerous ways. And instead of talking about how it's going to affect our daily lives, let's just look at the base foundation of the issue. Shall not infringe.
Mm-hmm.
The government is out of hand. And, well, let's be honest with it, too. The people in the masses have overstepped their bounds. We as Washingtonians have overstepped our bounds when we voted this into law.
Sure.
We have no right. I have no right to vote this into law.
Yeah. Just like, you know, we don't have, if we get enough, if we put enough millions of dollars into an information campaign of disinformation to persuade people to vote against your church, I guess that would be okay if we got enough people to agree on it. That's the whole point of the Constitution. It doesn't matter what as long as you are the only one left standing who still wishes to possess a firearm, that Second Amendment is there to protect you. It doesn't matter what the majority wants. Like Benjamin Franklin said, you know, the democracy is, you know, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. And what we've had is the masses basically have been duped. They've been subjected to propaganda and they fell for it. And now it's affecting gun owners in Washington state. And it'll spread.
Exactly, and that's one thing we need to be clear here, is that it's just not gun owners of Washington State. It will spread to other states. That's why other states are activating, and they're sending patriots to support us. Oregon right now is fighting to keep a law just like this off their books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving it all they've got. And we're pulling together to stop it. Here in Washington, we've waited too long. but now we've got to turn the table and go back, which everybody knows is not an easy task. Our state legislators are doing a great job at fighting for our gun rights and our constitutional rights. And now it's the time for the citizens, the patriots, to stand up, make a stand, and help them. It's easier for our state representatives to nullify this illegal law if we stand.
Yes.
And we're making the first move, so there is a very clear understanding that we will no longer comply with these unlawful gun laws.
And that's when we win, when we go on the offensive.
No,
that's when we win. When we go on the offensive, we win. And you guys are going on the offensive. That's what's needed. And here's the other thing, too. If we've got such a great group of legislators fighting this, how did this ever get passed? I want to remind the listeners that this was a voter initiative. That's the I in I-594 stands for. It's I initiative. So it had nothing to do with the legislators. This was a group of people backed by a bunch of well-funded anti-gun groups. And they were able to pour enough information into the propaganda campaign to persuade the citizens, the voters, that this was a good thing, that it'll keep us safer. And they've been lied to. And so you guys, by conducting this, it's more than just a rally. It is, stage one in the fight to reclaim, the Second Amendment rights. And then, of course, the Washington State's right to keep and bear arms as well. So what are you guys doing besides just rallying? You got some other, what's some of the stuff that's going to be going on there? Is there going to be some firearms transactions, like holding a gun show or what?
We're attempting to make this into a yearly gun show on the Capitol grounds, so they have a yearly reminder that we will not comply with their illegal gun laws. That's our long-term goal here, as a reminder to them, is we want a yearly gun show on their grounds where the people just come and they exchange their guns. If they want to buy, sell, so be it. At this one here, I'm a responsible gun owner. I am not going to be handing my gun to somebody I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
What I'll be doing, and what I suggest everybody else to do, is clear their chamber, make sure it's a safe weapon to hand to somebody else, hand it to your buddy, sell a gun to your buddy, because we are not going to comply with these unconstitutional laws. We are going to exercise our rights. If they want to make it under their books an illegal act, we're going to nullify it with the supreme law of the land, which is called the Constitution. They have no right to interfere with our weapons.
Absolutely. So you're going to fight this on the citizen level. What's the kind of the pulse of the legislators? What's their attitude, or have they revealed a strategy as far as moving forward officially on an official level to nullify this legislation or this initiative through legislation?
Well, I really can't speak for the legislators what they have planned. I know I have been guaranteed by those that I have spoke to that they are acting and they are taking it serious. How they're going about it, I'm leaving to them. I'm not a legislator, so I don't know how that process works as well as they do.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a citizen patriot, I know what my duty is. I know that my duty is to stand and say no more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to be a legislator to stand your ground on your constitutional rights. Okay, let's get the information out there for the listener so they know where to go, how they can participate, how they can help spread the word. You've got a website up and running?
Yes, we have a website, westand.us. And you can go there, and from there you can see the Declaration of Affirmation. Or you can go to callmegav.com/RAL. From there, that'll route you to the Facebook event. That'll take you to the websites. It'll take you to the volunteer list. Anything that you need to find out, you can that's kind of the hub where we're going from.
Okay.
So I encourage people to go there and see if they can if they're not able to make the trip, and look for ways that they can help out. If you want to volunteer, we have a volunteer list. I can tell you now that we have a great response on the volunteer list. I mean, I think we're pushing pretty close to 30 medical staff showing up.
Good.
That's designated just for medical issues that could arise while we're there. We have people that are offering to help with security. We have people offering to help by bringing tents and all kinds of stuff, warming stoves. And, I mean, we're getting a great outpouring of support on this.
Good deal. All right. Now, one more time before, because I don't want to let you go without making sure we're clear on where to go for more information. You got westand.us. That's www.westand.us, where you have your declaration of affirmation posted there. And then what was the other one? Was had something to do with Gavin. I stand.
It's callmegav.com/RAL.
RAL. All right. As in Romeo Alpha Lima.
Correct.
Okay. So callmegav.com/RAL. Romeo Alpha Lima, R-A-L. Outstanding. Got it. And you're looking for a list of volunteers and, of course, the helping to spread the word. You've also got your Facebook page up and running, too. And that's the, I believe, the I will not comply I-594.
Correct.
Okay. So just type in I-594, I will not comply. And that will take you to the event Facebook page there where you can join, you can spread the word to your, you know, your social media friends and associates. And yeah, this is good. And of course,
if you go to callmegav.com, it'll give you all the links to all of those. So if you can't remember them or whatever, just go to callmegav.com/RAL and it'll give you the links to go to all those places.
Okay. We'll spread the word and we'll also get it up on today's highlights and resources posting for this episode 14-47. We're here with Anthony Bosworth and spreading the word. I-594, I will not comply. The event coming up on December 13th, 11 a.m. in Olympia at the Capitol. And so go to those websites we just mentioned, follow them on Facebook, and help spread the word. Thank you guys so much for being in the fight and being on the front edge of the battle lines there in the fight to protect our Constitution.
And thank you for doing the same.
All right. Well, you have a great night. God bless. And say hi to Gavin for us. And we'll be definitely keeping in touch with you guys up until the event. Of course, you already know we are not able to make it. I'm predisposed on that weekend. But we've got some listeners already asking about it and talking about carpooling and making their way over there. So
tell the people to look because there's buses coming from a few states that are picking people up and busing them here. So, you know, there's ways for people to get here if they want to get here. And thanks again for having us on and helping us spread the word on this, John.
Absolutely. All right. Stay in the fight. Keep the faith. And thanks for what you guys are doing.
Thanks again, John.
All right. God bless. Bye now. Well, I'm not the one to be afraid because I know that I'm not standing all alone.
And everybody shout, I will not comply. I will not comply.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew." I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary. 208-667-1776.
Okay, welcome to the fourth and final segment on the Voice of the American Redoubt with episode 1447. Remember, you can contact me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Of course, now we've grown to the point where the whole email situation is kind of like an avalanche experience for me. So I read every email. I cannot respond to every email, although I try to my own detriment. But if you've got something pressing, we also have some volunteers, some partisans for Radio Free Redoubt that are stepping up and helping with certain things. I can always get that forwarded. You know, I forgot my password, or I can't figure out. I tried signing up and the form wouldn't take, or, you know, little things like that. We've got some partisans that are helping out with those type of tasks. So I appreciate them. But if you're listening to a downloaded version or a copy of the broadcast or the podcast now, if you're listening to it downloaded, you're not online, you're not on the internet, just remember, you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and listen to past, prior shows, learn more about what we're about, and hopefully get involved and join the growing thousands of patriots that are, relocating. If that seems like the right move for you and you prayerfully consider that, strategically relocating in advance of what's coming to our country, whatever that may be, we don't know, but at least you'll be surrounded by like-minded patriots that are in the fight to preserve our heritage and Americanism. Now, this segment is sponsored by AMP3 Medical. Great patriots, good friends, and they've taken very good care of us. That's the Austere Medical Preparedness Project. They've got Christmas specials going on right now. If you're in the market for your medical gear, go and check them out over at stores.amp-3.net. The easiest thing to do is to click on the link, the banner over on the right-hand side of the website there. AMP3's mission is to simply provide the very best hand-packed medical kits made in America. And their vision is to keep America working and produce a quality product that they can be proud of and that you can take comfort in owning. Now, this week, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I was interviewed by Sam Culper from Guerrilla America on the Forward Observer podcast. If you go over to amron.com, that's maybe like the second or third posting down now. And you can see the logo there, FO podcast, and listen to that. And you can go over to the website there, and listen to, all of those previous podcasts. He started doing that about a month and a half ago, and he's done a really great job with it. And he just keeps getting better and better every podcast. But we were discussing this week, Ferguson. And not just Ferguson, but the Ferguson response across the country and now even the UK. Well, while we were running a ComInt communications intelligence operation across the Amron network, they were doing something similar. Now, Sam is a former intelligence guy that was in the Army, and he does an amazing job over there. Well, during Ferguson, while we were building up the Ferguson sitrep page, we kept, it was like blinding speed, keeping that updated with the latest intel that we were getting, open source and otherwise. Sam Culper's group over at Forward Observer were running Operation Urban Charger. And they basically took this from an intelligence standpoint, collecting, analyzing, and posting intelligence, trying to get use this as a real-world training exercise to take in, sort through, make sense of, and analyze information so that you can turn that information into usable intelligence, actionable intelligence, something that what does this mean to me? How does this affect me? What's the best course of action? What's the threat? What's the scope of the threat? And so on. So what we were doing is we were gleaning information through the Amron network, and we were monitoring. We were monitoring open source scanner traffic. We were monitoring radio traffic. And what we were really doing, we had the priority intelligence requirements laid out so that if this spreads, and what we were really focused on is a couple of things. We were trying to analyze and understand what type of communications both sides were using. We really, just like I said in the interview with Sam this week, we took in a very objective approach. We didn't take on we're keeping an eye on the police state guys because they're bad. And we didn't take on we're trying to, you know, hone in on the rioters because they're bad. We just objectively observed and gathered information as far as what type of communications were being used. And then we're taking all that. We're going to do an after action review and applying that. We've kind of done a lot of on the fly adjustments and kind of analysis and reshifting our efforts based on the situation as the situation developed. One of the biggest tools that we took away from that is the value of real-time intelligence coming from the social networks, and something that we had not previously incorporated into Amron, because Amron is a nationwide, continental, actually, radio operators network, mostly oriented toward ham radio, because the thinking is if communications go down, we still need to stay connected. So that is really the backbone of the Amron network. And then earlier this year, I started working with Sparks 31 and really started to pull in something that I had just not taken the time to, you know, really pursue. And that's monitoring, which is just as important as being able to talk two-way, you know, to another ham operator. What you want to do is pull in all source intelligence, all the information that's flowing. And we've, you know, for the first couple of years, we placed all of our emphasis on grid down. So it's all radio communications. And once Bundy Ranch happened, it really made us step back and do a reevaluation, because we were not ready at all to deal with information coming in during a grid up situation. We just didn't have the mechanism in place to start deliberately, you know, focusing on information sources for our own situational awareness. So we started thinking, hey, grid up. What if the grid's up and something goes down? Well, so now what we've done is built a hybrid. So it's radio grid down communications, but also with the mindset of using grid up communications as long as it's available. And some of these groups either focus on either or. They're all into the radio grid down, nothing but radio communications, or they don't know how to operate a radio, but they know how to navigate their way around internet-based, social media-based intelligence. There's very, very few out there that are pulling all those in. So as long as the grid's up and the technology is there, we will use it. We follow the, you know, the social media and the news and online streaming scanners, police scanners, and all of these resources. But if the grid goes down, we can, without skipping a beat, go right to the radio backup, and we've got comm. So grid up or grid down. And so that's what we were focused on, is gleaning information that we could send out as situation reports to the ACE, the analysis and control element, that were the intel guys for Operation Urban Charger. So it was kind of a joint operation, which we're going to expand on more in the future, and we're going to, you know, further develop that. So it was really good, lots of learning experiences. The second thing that we were looking for is countermeasures, electronics countermeasures. Just like we saw in San Francisco during Occupy, where the government flipped the switch and killed the cell phone towers to keep the Occupy organizers from organizing. And so we were observing any type of unconventional communications or especially communications countermeasures that would be used that we could apply to, you know, future situations to, you know, better better be prepared for that. So that those were our main objectives there. Now they never the grid never did go down as far as the communications grid and internet never went down except for temporarily because of overloading, because so many people are streaming video and things like that. It did overload some of the systems, disrupted it, it reset, it was back up and running again in a few minutes. So that's something else to consider. But we also had radio operators standing by, basically preparing to begin monitoring radio communications should the cell phones and internet infrastructure get taken down, either through sabotage, through fire, rioting, or as a deliberate countermeasure by, you know, government entities. And that never happened. So we never really got the full use of AMRON, but they were, other than standing by, kind of on alert, ready to begin monitoring those radio traffic should it kick in. So that was really cool. And we're going to be continuously, you know, briefing and debriefing and pulling little lessons learned. I'll be writing some articles. But the biggest thing is the SOI. The SOI is like 99% ready. And I expect to get that done tonight so we can meet our deadline of December 1st, that's tomorrow, release of version 3. We've added several new resources to it, rearranged it. We've added the new rolling nets to that. So if you're running on version anything prior to version 3, that's going to be obsolete. You definitely want to get the version 3, get that printed out. And then from this point forward, any changes will be very minor changes, either as addendums or, you know, correctional typing, typos or little things like that that we're really scouring right now. The biggest thing that I'm going through right now is to make sure the hyperlinks in the electronic version of the PDF are all in working order. And that's kind of a tedious task because there's so many hyperlinks in there. But we want to make sure those are working correctly. A lot of the new forms are in there. So let you guys check that out. Don't forget to go to the download page for those of you who've made contributions. It's a minimum of $2 and the document's worth so much more than that. So when you get version 3, you go looking through that and you say, man, this is a lot of work. I'm going to send this guy an extra $5 or $2 or $10 or whatever. That'd be so appreciated. Whatever you think it's worth, you look at the value of that, how, you know, valuable of a tool that is for your family or your group's communications plan efforts. Just help support us in that way. We really appreciate it. We do have new forms. Some of these forms that are in version 3 are also online as well. And if you go to the communications resources tab at the very top toward the left on AMRON.com, there's a tab that says communications resources. Click on that. From the drop down menu, click on the very first one is forms, AMRON forms. And there is a list of about 10 official AMRON forms. And we are going to continuously be growing that directory, that library, if you will, of AMRON forms, from net control scripts to communications logs to radio message forms, sit rep forms, spot report forms. All those things are right there. And probably about half of those are actually in the SOI. So that's all we got. Now, that's not all we got. The last thing we have is a drawing, because we did not do the drawing last week. It was Cap 105. For those of you who participated, thank you very much. The participation is actually remaining very steady. So thank you guys for training. This is important because although you're entering in contests, you are actually training. Because in a real world situation, when we are using radio communications, these are going to be using these nets, the operators will be using digital modes a lot, and they'll be sending message forms that will auto open. The software is free. We've got guides to help you step by step on how to get the software downloadable and usable. You don't have to be a ham operator to receive these communications. As a lot of you know from the T-Rex 2014 exercise, some of you on scanners, some of you on ham radios, even though you weren't licensed, you didn't transmit, but you were able to receive. Many of you on shortwave radios were getting these digital communications, text messages coming across the airwaves. Well, the other thing that we're incorporating is message forms. It's a nice form that's already, all the fields are pre-filled in with the information. If you have your FL message form, you know, printed out, I mean, downloaded, all that stuff's there. It's easy. So a lot of you guys have been practicing, you've been training, and you've been entering the contests. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be giving away some prizes next week. We're not going to announce what those are going to be until next week. And Monday, those will all be shot out. Oh, there's also one too. Tango Whiskey 03, you're the winner of that lever gun, Leatherworks leather rifle sling from 2 weeks ago. And so you sent me an email saying, hey, did I win? I thought I heard my name. Yes, you did. And so I'll be getting in contact with you. Tango Whiskey 03. Okay, I've got my my Iraqi helmet. I knew it would come in handy one day because this is what all the entries are in. So this is from the Cap 105. And this is what you're doing. The winner from today, we don't have a prize that we're going to be sending out. What we're going to do is the winner from today is going to get 5 entry tickets for the big weekend for the drawing for, you know, 2 weeks from now, right before Christmas. And we're going to have several things we're going to be giving away. Going to Baofeng high power, you know, eight watt, one of the newer high power models, VHF, UHF, dual band. We'll be giving away some other gear and we'll be announcing that next week. So the audio file you're going to hear tonight, that is a practice message. And then what we're doing is, oh, wait, no, hold on. I messed up. Tonight, this is a Marjorie Wildcraft DVD, Grow Your Own Garden. That's what we're giving away tonight. That'll be mailed out. Okay, so let's do the drawing first, then I'll explain tonight's training exercise, digital training exercise, and then we'll go from there. Okay, I'm tired of digging through here. I got one in my hand. And remember, all you guys who enter, we're saving all these. You're going to go into the big drawing for next weekend. So if you didn't win in the weeks past, don't worry about it. You got another chance to win. If you won in the past, though, your name won't be going in there. That's only the people who did not win. But let's see here. Let's look. Whoa. Oh, Major Payne, you are the winner. You've got a DVD coming. Marjorie Wildcraft, Grow Your Own Garden DVD. I'll get in touch with you. We'll get that shot out to you. So congratulations, you're the winner. Okay, now this week's exercise, what you're going to be hearing in just a couple minutes is actually 2 messages. They're back to back and 1 audio file. These are your FL message forms. Now, I've already tested them, so I know they work. This audio file, when you open up your FL Digi program, the audio is going to come in, and you're going to see your text scrolling up the screen. As soon as it's done transmitting, each of these 2 forms will open up automatically. If you've done everything right. And then when those open up, there's 2 different separate forms. There's no prize this week or anything like that. No, the prize is the winner from next week's drawing. You're going to have 5 tickets entered into the following drawing, the big drawing. And that's where we're going to be giving away several prizes, gear, and that will be 2 weeks from today. So next week is going to be kind of a culmination of all the training that you've been doing up till now. So doesn't mean that if you haven't been participating in these exercises, you can't successfully participate and, you know, enter next week. But hats off to all of you guys. God bless you for training. Thank you so much. Good stuff. All right, stay tuned because we've got a digital message training audio file coming up for you in just a minute. And then after that, Delta 04 with the Tappern PostNet report. So stick around for that, and you can't go wrong. RadioFreeReadout.com is where you can find us. Thank you guys so much for being with us. God bless. Have a blessed week, and we'll definitely be in touch. This is Radio Free Readout, winding down episode 1447. Good night.